If you have a copy of God's Word with you tonight, I want you to turn to the second book of Samuel, chapter number 3, please. The second book of Samuel, chapter number 3. As you journey through life, and as you make your way along this road of life, you come across many different characters. Many different kinds of characters. I was up with my mother about a fortnight ago, and her and I always spend our time reminiscing. When you get to the time in life where you're reminiscing, it's a wee sign of you're getting on in years. I know I don't look like as if I'm getting on in years, but I'm at the stage where her and I reminisce about old times. And we always reminisce about the different characters that used to be about Auchnacloy. And you know, it's true, you older folk would know this. You know, there was a time that every town had its character. Is that right? Every townland had its character. And there were many different characters. And you know, friends, tonight, there was always, no matter where you live, there was always a character known as the local fool. And if you were to take a wee journey through God's Word tonight, you'll come across many fools. In the book of Psalms, number 14 and verse 1, and in Psalm 53 and verse 1, you come there to a speaking fool. Because in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, in the opening verses of those Psalms, you'll listen and you'll hear the speaking fool. Now, why is that man known as the speaking fool? Because we're told twice in the book of Psalms that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, friends, only a fool would say that there's no God. When I worked in Plumright Supplies, the last place of employment where I worked before I went into the ministry, we had this big salesman come in to me one day, and I was down in the store. And I worked with a fella who was a Free Presbyterian. And he was a good Free Presbyterian. And a sound and a Free Presbyterian. And him and I, every lunchtime, used to read through the Bible and would discuss a wee thing or two about the Bible. And the Bible was open and our lunch boxes were open. And as the man says, we fed the inner man as well as the outward man. And this man, Jim from Armagh, came in and he looked at the Bible and he said, don't tell me you believe in that nonsense. I couldn't believe me. He says, hey, Jim, what do you mean? He says, don't tell me you believe in that nonsense that there's a God. Just say, hey, Jim. Jim, am I hearing you right? Do you not believe in God, Jim? Nope, don't believe in God. Never did or never will. Say, hey, Jim, tell me this, where do you think you come from? Oh, he says, we came from monkeys. He says, away I thought me. And I let them rattle on. I let boys, I just reel boys, and you know, I love to reel boys. And I says, is that right? Oh, yes, he went through all this here and was able to prove this and was able to prove that and was able to prove the other thing. My goodness, says, hey, Jim. And he turned round. Says, hey, Jim, I'm glad you turned round. He says, why? He says, for a moment I thought that was your pen in your hip pocket, but the way you're talking to me, that's your tail. And I took him outside, and he said, well, do you think you're funny? I says, I don't think I'm funny at all. I know I'm funny. And I took him outside. He says, hey, Jim, when you take a wee look at them trees there. And from where I used to work, you could see the Mourne Mountains in the distance. Do you see the Mourne Mountains? Do you see the fields? Do you see the trees? Say, Jim, where do you think all this comes from? Happened from the Big Bang. What's that, Big Bang? He says, you know, Jim, you and I agree in the same thing. Only the difference is, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. Only you talk about the beginning, I talk about the end, because all this will end with a great noise. I says, Jim, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, and the invisible things of Him are clearly seen from the creation of the world, even as Godhead and glory and His power. Therefore, you're without excuse. And that's the speaking fool tonight. I hope there's no fools like that in this meeting tonight, that you don't believe there's no God. And when you get to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12, you'll find there another fool. And he's not the speaking fool, he's the thinking fool. You remember the young man in Luke chapter 12? When God had blessed him with bounty and God had blessed him with plenty, he thought within himself, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build greater. And I'll build greater barns where I'll bestow my fruits. And I'll sit down and I'll take me ease and I'll eat and drink and be merry and say to my soul, eat, drink and be merry, for thou hast much laid up for many years. What did God say? God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Listen, friend, like, there was a young man who thought he had many years. God says you haven't many hours because this night your life ends. Any man thinks he's got a long life as a fool the way he thinks, we should never be presumptuous about our lives, friends. Never. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, you've got the justifying fool. Oh, you've got the justifying fool. There's a lot of these fools about. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Well, I put that in Ulster language for you. The fool that says he has no sin. The fool that says he doesn't need to be saved. The fool that says that he doesn't need Christ. The fool that says he doesn't need to repent. A person who says he doesn't need to be saved, that's a fool. That's the fool. You know what the Bible says in the last verse of 1 John chapter number 1, verse 1, at the last verse of that chapter? If we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar. And I hope there's no fool in here tonight that's willing enough to call God a liar. And then the end of that wee verse, it says, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know what that means? In Ulster language now, in Ulster language. Let me put this like this. In Ulster language, down to the language we all understand. The person says he doesn't need to be saved, he's a fool. The man who says he's not a sinner, he's a fool. The man who says he has no sin, he's a fool. The man who says he doesn't need Christ, he's a fool. But he that hearkeneth to the gospel, and he that believes the words that he's hearing, and the man who repents and believes the gospel, he's the wise one. Now that's Ulster language for you. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Oh, I don't need God. I don't need Christ. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise tonight. Let me put it like this. He that believes the gospel and repents and gets saved, he's the wise one. But I'm going to go to another fool tonight. And you'll find him in 2 Samuel chapter 3. Now, he's not the speaking fool tonight. He's not the thinking fool tonight. He's not the justifying fool tonight. I'll tell you, he's the dying fool. The man who was a fool because of the way he died. And our scripture reading tonight takes us to a funeral. It takes us to a grave. And King David's the preacher. Now let's come to this funeral and let's listen to David preach. Now come with me please to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 3. And verse 32. And it says in verse 32 of 2 Samuel, chapter number 3, and they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." And all the people wept again over him. Here's my text tonight. Here it is. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Did you ever think, love, you can die like a fool? Did you know Abner's the only man in Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation that's described as a man who died as a fool? And yet there's people tonight in Ballymena, and there's people in Kilkeel, and there's people in the north of Ireland every day of the year dying just like this man. Did you know Abner died, friends? He died as a fool in spite of four things. In spite of four things. Abner died as a fool in spite of a place. Now let me give you a wee bit of background to Abner tonight. Who was Abner? Abner tonight was the cousin of Israel's first king, Saul. And he was the commander of Saul's army. You know what that proves to me tonight? This is what proves to me. Great men are not always wise men. Great people aren't always wise people today. Now what Abner did something. Abner killed a man in self-defense. He didn't murder a man, he killed him in self-defense. It was self-defense. And way back in the Old Testament times, that if you killed a man in self-defense, there was what there was called a city of refuge to flee to. Now you went to the city of refuge to be saved from the slayer of the avenger of blood. And Abner, the whole story of Abner about this was that Abner was on his way to the city of refuge. Abner knew all, and the city of refuge was called Hebron. Now, why did Abner go to Hebron for? Do you know why? Because he knew if he got to Hebron, he would have been safe. He knew that if he got into the city, he would have been saved. He knew if he had got to the city of Hebron, he knew he would have, his life would have been spared. Now, listen, friends. Abner knew all about the city. He knew why it was there. He knew what the city could do. That's why he made his way to the city. I must get to the city of Hebron. I must get into the city of refuge. And Abner knew, friends, he knew, friend, inside out, what the city of refuge of Hebron was all about. That's why he went there. That's why he fled there. What a place to meet. It was a place where nobody could touch him. Tonight there's a city of refuge for you, my love. It's a place which is called Calvary. And tonight that's where the place you need to flee to tonight. Friend, I want to bring you to the place called Calvary tonight. As Abner fled to the city of refuge, Joab, his victim's brother, was on his heels to kill him. You need to get to Calvary tonight because death and judgment is on your heels. And any person that comes to Calvary, and any person that comes to Christ, and bows in repentance of their sin, and trusts Christ, is free from judgment. and saved from eternal destruction. Do you know, friend, Christian brother and Christian sister tonight? You listen to me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever our soul would be lost. Died Abner as a fool dieth in spite of the place. Died Abner as a fool dieth in spite of the provision. What's unique about this provision tonight? Listen, the city of refuge was a city that was provided by God. Hebron was a city that was ordained by God. The city of refuge, friend, was God's doing. God's planning. God's purpose. It wasn't man's doing. It wasn't ordained by man, no. Man had nothing to do with this city tonight. This was God's agenda. It was a place of mercy for those who would come. It was God's provision. God planned it so. Listen, friend, tonight, God planned Calvary. God planned the cross. Calvary was no accident. Calvary had nothing to do with man. The cross had nothing to do with man, realistically, in the planning of God. Even though man crucified the Lord Jesus to the cross, Calvary and the cross was all part of God's plan. You know, friend, tonight, as Joab was on the heels of Abner to slay him in vengeance of his brother, listen tonight, death and judgment are on your heels. Death and judgment are in your heels. And friend, tonight you need to get to the cross. Tonight you need to come to Christ. See the provision, see the place God has provided for guilty sinners. I'm not asking you to flee to Believe Baptist Church, and I'm certainly not asking you to flee to Kilkeel Baptist Church. I'm asking you to flee to Calvary tonight. Flee to the cross tonight. Flee to the one who for sinners was slain. Flee to the one who finished our work. Flee to the one who has paid the price in his own ruby blood. Oh, friend, I'm asking you to do something tonight. I'm asking you to throw down your puny arms of rebellion and behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's the blood of the Lamb that saves ye. It's not communion or catechisms or creeds and confirmation. Them things don't save. Christ's blood saves. What was it that saved the What was it tonight that saved the Hebrews on the night of the Passover? It was the blood of the Lamb. It wasn't because they were a Hebrew. Any Hebrew that hadn't the blood applied that night would have been destroyed the same as the Egyptian. Being a Hebrew didn't count that night. The blood counted. The blood counted. And I'll tell you this, if any of the Egyptians had been behind the blood that night, they would have been saved as good as any Hebrew. Are you behind the blood tonight? Are you behind the blood? Are you under the blood? It's the blood that saves me. I love that wee song, you know. When I stood guilty at the judgment bar, mercy walked in and presented the blood. And that's enough to set me free tonight. Like Abner, you know all this tonight. You know it all. There's people in this meeting and you've been cuddled in the gospel, never mind cradled in it. You know it inside out. You know all about Calvary. You know all about the cross. You know all what God's Son has done for you. You know tonight all about the power of the precious blood. Like Abner, you know all about this. You know all about the place called Calvary. You know all about the provision that has been made. But Abner died as a fool dieth, not only in the spite of the place and in spite of the provision. Abner died as a fool in spite of his position. Why, there's one for you. In spite of his position. This is the sad, sad, sad part of the story tonight. He was just one step. He was in the very gate of the city. He wasn't a mile away. He wasn't 100 yards away. He was one step. He was in the very gate, not through it. He can be in the gate, but not through it. And Abner was in the gate tonight. And as he's in the gate, it's then where he hears a voice. It's Job's voice speaking peacefully. Did you notice this tonight? Did you notice Abner never heard the voice when he was a mile away? He never heard the voice of Joab when he was only a lot of yards away. When he was about to take that step, that's when he heard the voice. And I'll tell you this tonight. It's when you're about to get saved. It's when you're one step away. That's when the old enemy, the devil, will start speaking to you. I wonder tonight, has there been any person and you've left this church and you've been saying to yourself, do you know there's a big fella up there, I think I could talk to him. He's always standing at the door with a smile on his face. I would love to talk to him. I definitely would love to speak to that big man. But there's an inner voice that's saying to him, don't you be talking to that man, you'd be talking Bellamina. So what do you need to talk to that man for? Sure, you're good enough. Do you see when you're that length, distance away from getting saved, that's when the devil starts talking. And I could guarantee you now there's people been shaking my hand would love to speak to me. There's people over these past nights that took me by the hand and would have said, do you know, I'd love to get speaking to you, George. But then there was this wee inner voice saying, listen, don't be making a fool out of yourself. Now, people will be watching me. Sure, if you got saved, think what's the workmate's going to say? Sure, if you got saved, what's your mommy going to say? If you got saved, what's your daddy going to say? If you got saved, what's your husband going to say? If you got saved, what's your wife going to say? I'm telling you, the voice of the enemy is very subtle and very strong. And you've left these meetings, friend. You've heard God's voice. You know what it is with that, to have that inner guilt and conviction of sin. And you're about to come. You left these meetings tonight, night after night. Boys, I need to. I would need it. But something has spoken to your mind. Something has said something to your heart. An inner voice that says, listen, don't bother, don't bother. You'll get saved tomorrow night. You know, the devil will say everything into your inner heart tonight, into your inner ear, that will stop you from taking that step tonight. Abner was in the gate. He wasn't at the gate. He was in the very gate. I think of Judas Iscariot. He died as a fool death. His very lips kissed the very cheek of the Savior. That's how close he was. And he went to a lost sinner's hell. You think of the dying thief, the unrepentant thief, looking into the very face of the one that loved them and died for them and could have saved them. And looking into the face of the one that could have saved them, he dies and goes to hell. Ah, friend, you've sat in Valley Baptist all these years and you know the truth inside out, and perhaps you've many, many nights, you have almost taken that step, but you were deceived. And the devil still has you. That's has you today. That's who you are held on to. The devil has you. I'm not up here to milk or to mince in words tonight. The devil has you. You're the Bible says. You're the Lord Jesus says. Ye are of your father the devil if you're not saved. Doesn't matter why you're Baptist, Presbyterian, or brethren. If you're not saved, ye are of your father the devil. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Why? He died in spite of the place. He died in spite of the provision. He died in spite of his position. I'll tell you something else and I'm finished. Died Abner as a fool dieth. In spite of his privilege. Do you want to know why? Verse 34. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. Do you know what he's... I'm going to put this into Ulster language. As a man dies like unsaved men, as a man dies like ungodly men, so died you. Even though you were that close, you died as an ungodly man. Even though you were that close, millimeters away, you died as an unsaved. In the early 80s, a farmer outside the town of Oma, Christian farmer, had a son, his only son he had. The farmer was a saved man, he was a Christian. And the mother was a Christian. Sent the wee lad to Sunday school. We lad knew the Bible inside out. He came first in every Sunday school exam. That's when they used to do Sunday school exams. I think we need to get back to the Sunday school exams again. See, when it come and quoted memory verses, rattled them off like that. See, when it came to his lessons, top marks. And when he came to 14 years of age, Sunday school was finished with. No more time. He wasn't a rebellious lad. He didn't go out partying and drinking and racking about. No. He was a good lad. But he was never saved. And one day out in the field, the bull got him. 31 years of age. And one of the neighbors came to the house and called the farmer to come quick, and he explained him what happened. And the first text of scripture that came to his mind was what David said. Is the young man safe? The time he got to the field, he was gone, dead. And he left behind heartbroken parents, not just because he was dead. He left no testimony. Do you see in 8 months The father died of a broken heart. He died of a broken heart. The young lad knew the Bible inside out, top marks on Sunday school. And you're in this meeting. And God has given you chance after chance after chance. And listen tonight, there's nothing stopping you, only yourself. And it's only silly old pride that's stopping you. It'd be an awful thing tonight for your coffin to be wheeled up to the front of the church. And nothing to say about you. And let me tell you, there's more lies told at funerals than anywhere else. And I'm sure Pastor Kennedy's the same as myself. We'll preach the gospel. Even though it's difficult, we still have to preach the gospel to you that are living. And Abner died tonight. As a fool dieth, not that he didn't know. Not that he wasn't near. He died as a fool because he was almost through. He was almost in. Is that you tonight? Almost persuaded. Now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. And if you're a backslider tonight, come you back tonight, will you? And if you're not saved tonight, you come to, don't you stand in the door any longer. Get through the gate tonight. Get into the city of refuge. Get to Calvary. Get to Christ. Jesus says, listen, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in. He doesn't say, if any man knocks the door, or any man stands at the door. If any man enters in, you have to go through it. Have to go through it. What did he say? Shall be saved. That's it. You're not yet as simple as that? Will you go through tonight? You're coming through tonight. You're going to make it up tonight. You're coming. Or are you going to die? The death of a fool.